They come from the depths of central Queensland, Australia.
It's a crocodile!
No,
it's Banksy and Pinky.
Wake up, wake up.
Central Queensland CFM morning crew, Banksy and Pinky.
Good morning! You need to wake up!
Good morning! How are you this morning, Pinkies?
Yeah, doing well. Excellent. How about you?
I'm good. I love a rainy day. And I love a rainy night. It's great because I don't have to spend money using my water on my lawns and gardens, you see.
Yeah, okay, good.
Brilliant. Yes. Plus, you know, it's always good to have a bit of water, wash away the old and spring to life the new, Pinky.
Very good.
Yes, quite prophetic this morning on International Chocolate Cupcake Day.
Good day. Did you bring any in?
No, but if...
we're meant to celebrate the day, Banksy. What?
It was too early to be up making chocolate cupcakes, Pinky. So
righto. Okay, cupcake day, I can deal with that.
But I have gotten on board for no beard day.
No beard?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there.
There's a good reason for that, because I can't really grow one. But hey, supporting No Beard and Chocolate Cupcake Day as well. Singing for Springsteen later this morning. And, of course, we're talking to the wonderful, lovely Sasha from The Block after 8. Huge!
Plenty happening.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Maybe we should have a segment called The Confessional.
The Confessional?
Yeah.
Wow.
Starting to think, that's how I feel about what I'm about to tell you.
Forgive me, Banksy, for I have sinned.
I don't know if I'm asking for your forgiveness. I probably have to start with myself, to be quite honest.
Right, well, why would we create a segment called The Confessional, Pinky? What have you to confess?
A couple of weeks ago, did you see the news coming through that Coles had lost $1.1 billion due to theft at the self-checkouts?
I did read something like, I didn't realise it was that kind of money.
That's huge. Yeah, well,
how
it
much?
All adds up. $1.1 billion.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't think grapes cost that much.
Yeah, you can taste them, right? That's not stealing.
Oh, look,
you
that's,
need to taste test.
I reckon that's borderline. I think,
old school.
Sure,
you're supposed to taste the produce.
If 7 million people all on the same day decided to taste a grape, there'd probably be an issue. But I mean,
you don't need to taste Cadbury chocolate. Different.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah. No, that's pinching.
Or okay, that's good to know now.
Different rules, different foods. Well, anyway, who was shocked? I wasn't shocked that that was happening, and I was a bit shocked that they took so long to get police involved. You're like, come on, guys! I've seen people do this stuff. I think we all have.
When you had this brainchild of, you know what? You can just serve yourself. It's high marks on the couldn't be stuffed ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't be stuffed. You do it yourself.
And there was that thing where, you know, mangoes are fairly expensive.
Yes.
And people were, you know, putting the mangoes through as onions. $2 a kilo.
So, like, scamming the system.
Correct.
It still appears as though I'm beeping this one through, but I'm getting it real cheap.
Okay, and this is where the segment becomes the confessional.
Oh,
so
Pinky.
The other day, I'd had a very long day. I was on my way home for a really late lunch and my husband was getting it organised, but I had to grab a couple of things from Coles.
Okay.
Just named them. to grab a couple of things. What would I grabbed an avocado and a bunch of shallots.
Right.
That was it.
What were you cooking?
We were doing a chicken and egg and avocado salad.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I was starving at the time. You know what that's like too.
Yeah, you just got to get that food.
Dragged out and you were like, I need something now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to buy all the junk food in the shop because that's what you feel like when you're starving. Anyway, so I got through to the self-serve checkout.
Yeah.
I'm looking up, you have to look up fruit and veg. I'm looking up the shallots. I've looked up shallots. I've looked up spring onions. Nothing, I cannot find. I'm going through the alphabet. This is how diligent I'm being to charge for my shallots.
Shallots anyway, starts with an S, doesn't it?
There was a lady taking care of helping people out. There's always someone there.
Yeah.
She was really caught up with a customer. I went to ask her. I'm just like, I just need to get out of here. I'm buying two things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'll do that thing. I'll do that thing where you find something else to charge it as because then I'm still paying for it and then I can leave.
Oh,
now,
no.
The shallots were $2.50 for a bunch.
Right.
I'm like, okay, what's similar? Oops, celery. I'm like, yeah, celery. I might even get a discount if I charge for celery.
Oh, Pinky.
I charge celery. Do you know how much it was a bunch for celery that day?
No.
$5. Do you know what I did? Just kept going. Needed to get out of there. So basically, Bessie, I have actually donated to Coles $2.50 to help them pay back their, you know, fix up their $1.1 billion theft debt. I mean, credit.
$1.1 billion to go, Pinky.
Oh.
If you can get that through.
Yeah, I shop there anytime. I'm welcome, I'm sure.
Now I can go and get that grape. Excellent.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
Pinky, had one of those situations over the weekend just gone where I had a whole lot of young kids at my house.
Oh, cool.
A sleepover happened.
It's
yeah.
the social house, your house.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah. We're the cool parents who let everyone sleep every weekend.
Excellent.
Yeah, for not much longer, I'll say. But went to McDonald's to get the dinner and to cash in on some of those free Monopoly vouchers that you get off the drinks and the burgers and all that.
Right.
So we did the collection because it's ending, I think, very soon.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, we'll collect all of our free ones and get the rest and feed everyone Maccas. It's the easy way to do a heap of kids at the one time.
Yep, yep.
With the feeding.
Freebies is good.
Yeah. So we got, you know, a couple of Big Macs and Frappes and small chips in the freebies. Went up to the counter. Here you go. I'll take all of those and... I want this, 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 and this as well. It should make up the entire meal.
Yeah.
And it came to over $60 worth.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you add like two or three, four extra kids...
Yeah.
The budget starts getting out of control as well.
Yes.
So here I am spending like $60 as I'm going to collect my free stuff.
Yes.
From the McDonald's Monopoly.
Yeah.
But I have to do a congratulations to McDonald's. Yep, you won Monopoly. You've done it. I am now bankrupt. So you win.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
In the last week or so, we've heard some horrific reports about injuries that children in CQ have received from magpie attacks.
Mm.
One young girl has lost sight in one eye and another kid has an eye injury.
Yeah, it's horrible.
People are saying they're just getting more vicious. Perhaps they've, you know, got more experience at swooping.
Is it a generational thing?
Yeah,
is
there's it, a know. Bit of concern getting around. And obviously, these kids being injured, it's really quite scary.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that magpies have a 10-year memory.
Okay.
That if you know, something has happened to them, they remember what people look like and for 10 years will remember a bad incident that has happened or a good one. I've got magpies around my place at the moment, have had since I moved in. We had them in the backyard and they were all fine. And now with swooping season, they've kind of vacated the yard and now are out the front swooping people walking past.
Yeah.
So it's happening in my area as well. And I'm deathly scared of magpies after a magpie attack when I was a little fella. And that's, yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking I don't want anyone else to go through what I went through. Growing up, just being just so scared of birds, magpies in particular.
Is, yeah, it's the kids that are getting actually injured. I mean, losing your sight from being swooped by a magpie is just
so. Do we come in?
Unbelievable.
Remove these magpies from where they are.
Well, that's there's been a bit of a call out to go ahead and start complaining to the state government about the magpies to try and action something. To do with preventing this happening in the future. Now, this
so
is
has complaining
fact.
To the government worked on anything in the past? Like, will this work?
Well, the thing is, magpies are a protected native species in Australia, so it's illegal to kill or harm them.
Yeah,
and that's what people are starting to get frustrated with, is that they want something done about them because they're saying also examples like, well, if a dog hurt a child, the dog would be put down.
Oh,
I'm wondering this morning what you think on 13 27 10.
Yeah, look, I had a comment online about this as well. A guy said, you know what, I pay my taxes, I pay my rates, how come magpies get more rights than I do? And I looked at that comment, I thought, well, that's a little hard to argue with, but what do you do? 13, 27, 10. Hey, Kev, what about you, mate? You got a thought on these magpies?
A mate of mine's invented this thing called the swoop away. It goes on, sits on your bike helmet, and it doesn't stop the magpies swooping, but it stops them actually pecking at you and attacking your ears and stuff like that.
Okay.
How does it work?
Yeah, it must do something to the magpies. It just don't seem to attack your ears or eyes or stuff like that. So,
do you think that's enough? Do you think that would do? Because there's been kids. One child is now blind in one eye. Another kid has an eye injury. Do you think something else needs to be done at all?
Well, what are you going to do? You're not going to stop them sweeping, though, are you?
No.
You just have to stop them actually doing the injury.
Yeah, so would you support calls to have magpies removed, particularly dangerous magpies removed, or let them be where they are?
Yeah, they're still going to come back, mate. You move them and there's the other ones. If you remove those ones, the next ones will move in anyway.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
We're talking about magpies. We've had a few bad situations with particularly dangerous magpies recently. We've got two loss of vision cases.
Yeah, but well, the kids are really getting affected and attacked. And I guess really in terms of day-to-day, kids are out and about more often than adults, you know, with going to school.
Yeah.
So that has been happening, and there's quite a few upset parents.
Yeah, because there's no apps on your phones to take magpies swooping away from you, so the kids just don't know what to do anymore.
I think it's very unlucky when a magpie swoops you and gets you in the eye.
I'm being a little...
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, so some parents are really distressed and, you know, a lot of bit of discussion really going around that the magpies are getting more vicious.
What to do on 13 27 10.
Peter, what are your thoughts on the magpies?
It's a knee-jerk reaction like always. There's nothing. Magpies have been around for, hundreds of years.
Yeah, you think it's just a knee-jerk reaction saying there's been a couple of really damaging swooping magpies recently. It's just a knee-jerk reaction to that.
I'm 44 and I've been, when I was a kid, we got chased by magpies and all that type of stuff, and our parents never taught us about, what to do, and, it was never a real big major. And I mean, I feed my magpies here, and so they don't swoop anyone.
Peter, do you think, though, with children, losing eyesight and getting eye injuries, do you think that the magpies are getting more vicious?
No. I think kids are becoming a bit more wrapped up in cotton wool.
Maybe a bit of education on what to do approaching magpies, how to stay away from them, how to treat them.
I think that's a better thing to do. Is that they're just protecting
They're doing their thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. CFM, who's this?
That's your grounds, mate.
What do you reckon, mate?
Look, I've got a set in the backyard. As you heard the saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah.
Tell you what, my pair, they don't get fed anymore. But no, seriously, they've got to move them on. If they kill a person, which it's going to happen, they're going to knock a kid off a push bike and get hit by a car. As far as I'm aware, they are a pest. They're not part of the, whatever you want to call it, but people can't tell me what they do in society, what their life is in the evolution. And the council should be made to move them on, and the government should move them out to the bush. And they do it to crocodiles, they do it to everything else, so why not the bloody magpies?
But do you think magpies are pretty difficult to move on, mate? Because they can just fly back.
What amazes me is they build their nests in trees that are 6-7 metres up, and I'm sure everybody's going to climb up there and get them. Mm. That's the part that amazes me, why they think they need to keep that radius around them.
Animal instinct.
Yeah.
Well, I can already tell one person who'll be onto that complaints to the government website. Groundsman, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Dan.
You can file a complaint through the Department of Environment and Heritage Protection, www.ehp.qld.gov.au.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
50% of the Julia and Sasha team from the block on the phone right now, the Sasha percentage. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks, guys. How are you?
We're really good. Well. Of course, you'd be known as the better half, right?
I wouldn't say the better, just one of.
Okay.
I have to pick my words carefully.
Hang on. We won't
repeat it.
Did I get this right, Sasha? You just said you have to choose your words carefully. Don't you just fly off the handle straight away away and think about it later?
Most of the time I do, yes. Well, in this situation I do. Not in real life, but in this situation.
Ah, right.
It's just tough, you know, being so tired, being so emotional.
Yeah.
I guess being really physically exhausted and emotionally exhausted as well, it's tough.
Yeah, just strung out completely. And we've been happily following the journey of yourself and Julia. All I can see is over the last few weeks, you guys are having Barneys all the time. Is it taking a toll on the relationship?
Yeah, look, I definitely think, the block experience is a toll on any relationship or partnership.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot you have to decide in a really quick time frame. And as I said before, everyone's physically tired, emotionally tired. You know, it's a strain on all relationships. Mm-hmm. For us especially, you know, we're very raw. We're, we wear our hearts on our sleeve.
Definitely.
You know, we're very opinionated. We're both perfectionists. We both like to have our own way. So, you know, that's kind of our relationship. Of course, we don't fight like that. We went to bed every single day on the block and basically just hugged each other and said, okay, not such a great day or a good day, whichever. And then just say, you know, the next day's the next day. And put it all behind us. And, you know, we were there to do a job and we're both very proud of how we achieved it. And, you know, we love our apartment more than anything and, you know, we'd have it no other way.
Sasha, do you have some relationship recovery planned for after the block? You know, like a trip to Fiji or something like that?
You know, funny you should ask. We did actually, when the block finished filming, we did actually go to Fiji for 4 days where we literally slept for 2 days.
I didn't even know that, but good.
Yeah, we slept for 2 days and then the other 2 days we lay by the pool. So we did get to recover and, you know, obviously we're happier than ever. And, you know, I'm really proud of Julia and how she styled that apartment. You know, it wasn't easy for her at the beginning, especially being a property stylist. You know, she had a lot of pressure on her and she had a lot of pressure that she put on herself. So she did an amazing job. She came through. And as I said, the apartment is beautiful.
Sensational. We move on to Terrorist Week and the last week for a reveal before we sell these amazing apartments.
Yeah.
Are you feeling confident about Terrorist Week?
Yeah, look, we've got a super design for our terrace. You know, we really want to bring that indoor, outdoor living and, you know, we're going to have a really luxurious sort of seating space and couch and lounging space. And we're also going to have, obviously, a beautiful sort of eating and dining table, you know, setting as well. So we're really, really excited. And keep your eye out because we could potentially have some more Gaggenau appliances appearing outside as well.
Sasha, it sounds to me like the apartment you guys have decked out, whoever buys it is going to just live in a bubble once they move in.
Why would you?
They will have no need to leave for entertainment or dining. It's all there.
That's exactly right. And look, to be honest, we've been telling everyone that we actually come with the apartment as well because we're not moving out.
That is a total bonus.
Yeah. That's why there's that second kitchen in there, you see.
That's the
girls going to be in there.
They're going to sleep in the butler's pantry.
24/7. I just love it. Every single room is better than my entire house. So,
it's better than my shed.
We absolutely wish you all the best with the last week in it. Give our best to Julia as well with the block.
Will.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
We live in the beef capital and we eat the most beef. Is there any irony in there?
No. Australians.
Oh,
but
right,
clearly,
right.
Here, beef capital.
Oh, we'd be right up there.
Hello.
Yeah. I love a good steak. I love mince meals and like the shepherd's pies and all that. I eat meat all the time.
It's pretty tough eating tofurkey when you're living in the beef capital.
Tofurkey.
You know, it's just all around you.
What is tofurkey? I don't even want to know.
But yeah, we eat heaps of meat, and this has been discussed for a while.
Yeah. Yeah,
that, you know, maybe we don't need to eat as much red meat, that it can be actually a little bad for you.
Really? The red
meat? Eating too much of it? Yeah, so there's been all these different discussions. But again, here, can I just repeat those stats?
Please give me those stats again. This is really...
blows my mind. Yeah. So other people in the world are eating 30 kilos of meat a year per person.
Yep.
And Aussies are eating 93 kilos a year.
That is...
like three times as much.
Oh,
so we're either the biggest or second biggest consumers of meat on planet Earth.
On the whole of the planet.
Yeah.
That's us. Aussie.
About the meteors and asteroids. Well, on the whole planet, we eat the most meat.
There could be some alien civilization out there that eats more meat than us.
Let's have a stroganoff about this.
Pinky! Pun Central. And look, there's some news too from Peter. The Meat and Livestock Australia, apparently the price of red meat could be soaring over the next 2 years as well.
Ooh.
So if we're eating... like three times as much as everyone else, we're spending three times as much as everyone else as well on meat.
Wow. Well, also they're saying that we get meat relatively cheaply. As compared to other countries.
Really?
Yeah, so that's also why we eat it so often. So I was wondering this morning,
yeah,
on 13/27/10, how much meat did you eat yesterday?
Oh, yeah, good. Good. Let's like, have a...
How, you know...
Get a gauge of what we actually eat as far as the meat meals are concerned. So
are you having bacon for morning tea?
At lunch and dinner.
Steak for afternoon tea?
You know what? Yesterday I had... Does hot dogs count as meat?
Yeah, it's processed, but it's still meat.
All right, that and lo and behold, steak last night.
There we go. Steak
and pasta.
Two serves in a day.
Yeah, and Cocoa Pops for breakfast. So does that count as meat?
Oh, that's ultra healthy.
Okay. So, well, you know what I ate as far as meat's concerned yesterday? Tell us about your meat journey yesterday.
Your meat journey. Tell us about your meat.
Okay, now we've gone too far.
13/27/10.
Bernie, what's going on this morning, champion?
I've just heard the meat thing. I've just been a bit concerned about the consumption of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this concern you?
Well, you know, I don't want to mince my words, but there's a lot at stake. And if
that's
we don't chop it out now, if we don't chop out this unhealthy eating now, we're going to get snagged into a really bad situation.
Oh, my goodness. That... You know what? I can't even add to that. I'm that impressed.
Bernie, you deserve the fart gun for that one.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
We've been talking about our consumption as Australians of meat.
Three times as much as the average normal person in the world.
And the rest of the planet.
That's incredible, but not surprising, especially here in the beef capital of Australia.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I thought was interesting was why we eat so much of it.
Well, can you tell me?
And apparently it's kind of cultural. So when the convicts came here, it was just all about, it wasn't about doing your MasterChef style meals. They just needed to find a slab of protein to slap in there and to make dinner.
I guess you got to look at the skill level of said convicts.
Yes.
We weren't putting master chefs in jail. And
we were not.
They weren't the ones stealing the bread.
So meat was the centrepiece of the meal, and it still is.
It's the champion, yeah.
And also, most of the country has been, you know, turned into paddocks, which suit... farming animals as opposed to growing vegetables and grains.
Because of the wide open spaces that we have, plenty of farming land for cattle.
And then also we're wealthier, so we're able to afford the meat even though it's relatively cheap here as well.
You know, I honestly could not imagine my life without meat.
Yeah, and really?
Every day there is at least one meat meal that I have, whether mainly dinners... and so forth. But, you know, lunches, if you miss out at a dinner, you'd have like a ham sandwich at lunch or whatever.
Do you have seafood?
I don't. I'm allergic to prawn and lobster, like shellfish.
What about fish?
No, I just don't eat it.
Yeah, so we have alternative nights. We don't just always...
Is fish your alternative?
Fish and then vegetarian meals.
Okay.
Which are really amazing.
Yeah.
And tasty, yep.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd survive if I didn't.
I can't see you eating tofu.
No, I just
can't.
It's not screaming yum yum.
Do you
me.
Feel like maybe you should cut back? Like they're saying that we eat too much and it's kind of dangerous for us. Well, you could actually cut back.
It's getting more expensive as well. I don't think I could. No. I don't think I could cut back. I needs my meat. I do. Honestly, my love for meat, it's pretty hard to keep it bacon. I've got to say. What?
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
Kicking the kilos, Pinky.
Yeah, it's all thanks to the Morning Bulletin and the Gladstone Observer. It's a 12-week campaign for CQ to kick the kilos, and this is week 5, so we're almost halfway through. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's good.
We're nearly there.
And look, if you haven't actually got yourself onto Strava yet, you still got plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the thing is, you might already be a regular walker or runner.
That's right.
But if you're not tracking these Ks on the app, then you're not helping your region.
You should
feel really guilty.
We're never going to beat Mackay if you don't sign up to the Strava app and start kicking those kilos.
Well... now that you mention
Mackay.
They are still sitting on third place on the leaderboard.
Oh,
I know.
Sunny Coast and Bundaberg up there as well, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look, I don't even care if we don't get first. As long as we beat Mackay, I'll be happy.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Well, Rockhampton's on fourth place and Gladstone's on ninth place.
Oh, come on, Gladdy.
So, come on, we both have to just push up there and, yeah, so it's beat Mackay.
For the Morning Bulletin in Rockhampton and for the Observer in Gladstone.
Yep.
Yeah.
So doing really well there. But we just need to make sure you've got the app. So it's Strava, it's free, and then you just need to go through and connect onto a club, which is either of the newspapers. And that way, each time you record a run or walk, even if you want to record you're walking around work all day, go for it.
Any way, shape or form. Yep.
Here's another way you can get active, though. Saturday mornings, you can go to a park run. Now, they're a free run, and they're timed. So it's run by volunteers, and it's a 5K loop.
Yep, yep.
So you just rock up at 7 o'clock. The one in Rocky is at the Botanic Gardens. The one in Gladstone is at the Lions Park off Dawson Highway.
Yeah.
You head along, you have to register online. And like I said, it's free, but that's a good way to stay regular.
Yeah.
And just keep tracking your improvement.
That's right. And contribute to kick the kilos as well. Like,
yes.
And it's good for all ages.
Correct.
You know, the young kids, if you're just taking them out or whatever, they could ride their bike while you're doing a bit of a walk, or even the older, more mature parts of our community can take part.
Well, Beth.
Who's Beth?
Beth was at Park Run in Rockhampton over the weekend.
Yeah.
And she is 86 years young.
Oh, Beth.
What a champion.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be like when I'm 86.
Hey.
Killing it at Park Run.
See, that's incentive for all the young'uns. Hey, if Granny can do it, you can too.
Of course.
Come on.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Some news on Nick Kyrgios for you. Mm-hmm. He tanked that game at the Shanghai Masters the other week.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Was it him being a brat or was it him having a mental breakdown?
Lots of opinions on social media about it.
Yeah,
pretty
and
strong.
One opinion has come from Pat Cash. We all know Pat Cash, great Australian tennis player.
Yeah.
He's a little concerned for Nick.
Where's the support network to help him? Because, you know, he does need help. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, it's obvious to everybody. Nick, of course, is a bit of an individual and, you know, he still doesn't have a coach. He wants to do things his own way. You know, he tends to think that he knows it all. You know, this may be a good thing that's happened to him. And it's, look, in the end, it's not the end of the world. He's going to miss 3 weeks of tennis.
Yeah.
He's going to have a much-needed holiday, and then he's going to be back and playing. And, you know, maybe that's not even enough.
Yeah, well, so he's apologised. Yes, I'm telling you, he has actually come out and said, I'm sorry for doing what I did.
Yeah.
And I think maybe some much-needed time away from it, sort himself out mentally. Because I just felt that this was snowballing with Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah.
That it could have eventually ended up with something bad happening.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a little bit of that psychological help, may I say, just in the nick of time.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
Good morning to Owen from the Wapper Falls Observatory and in Yandina. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not in Yandina now.
No, you're not. Owen, you are actually in central Queensland for the next couple of days, and you are here because of the meteor, was it, or the asteroid that we saw in Gladstone just a few weeks ago?
Yes, right. Yeah. I'm up here hunting it down and trying to get as many people as possible that've actually seen it to give me some direction so that we can actually map it out. But obviously, it's been a major thing.
Yeah.
So we're trying to actually map it out so we know where it actually detonated.
So you're trying to find it?
Well, if it's exploded out over the ocean, it might have exploded out over an island. We haven't had anything back from Heron Island yet to say that anyone on Heron Island actually seen it or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're trying to ascertain whether it actually did detonate over an island or something like that. If it did, there'll be pieces of it on the ground.
This is like a grown-up's version of a treasure hunt, Banksy.
You know how much I'm into sci-fi and sci-fact as well.
Yes.
This is just, I can't even find the words. This is so exciting. So you are trying to find that meteorite and you need as many people as possible to give you details on their experiences to help you track it down.
Yep. Directions preferably, and the angle that it come down. If we can get directions and the angle it come down, then we can do some triangulation and actually find out where it actually landed. We've got a report that something maybe landed in a swamp down at Agnes Waters from the newspaper down at Agnes. So we've had some people down there trudging around the swamp seeing if they can find anything, but we haven't had any report of anything found yet.
Wow.
Found a few loose thongs in there and and so forth. How do we get in touch with you if we have some information for you, Owen?
Okay, well, at the moment, it's restricted to my mobile now, 0427 467 944.
And if you miss that number, you can always call the station here, 132710. Yeah. We've got it.
And Owen, you've brought some grown-up space toys with you, right? To do show and tell.
Yeah, I bought 100-odd meteorites and pieces of the moon, bits of Mars, bits of Mercury, and asteroids. We've got a big asteroid with me that was found in 1574 in Argentina.
In 1574, what? You've got a piece of asteroid.
Yeah, 12.5 kilo one.
Were there dinosaurs around still then? I don't remember.
Know. They got a headache if it hit them because they found 90 tons of it.
This was the one that ended them all. Apparently,
there was no Nurofen. Yeah.
Well, that was Owen,
a bit further north.
I want to see and feel and touch these things. Are you going to be anywhere where we can come and meet up or something?
We're going to try to go to the library in Rocky tomorrow. So I've got to contact them yet to see whether they will allow me to put a display on there for an hour or two.
Well, I say to you, Owen,
I might come around to the station and show you around the station.
Oh,
wow. Do you have any green men with you?
I'm looking pretty green this morning because I started 4:30 yesterday and I just bought half of China with me to central Queensland. So I'm looking a bit green this morning.
Oh, okay, awesome.
It's Banksy and Pinky, the podcast.
Check it out.
Like us on Facebook at CFMCQ.
Do you have parents around you who don't know how to hold their tongue when young ears are listening?
Yeah, I've had a couple of very casual friends.
Mm.
And I have to say I'm
casual,
not...
Casual, that's nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, we're thinking about, like, the potty mouth and swearing and sailor speak.
Things slip out.
Sometimes mine slip out. I try my hardest to make sure, you know. But, yeah, you stub your toe.
We're all getting older as well.
So. Yeah. Well, there's been studies on the effect of swearing to children. Two studies, as a matter of fact. The first one claiming that exposure to profanity both numbs children emotionally and causes immediate negative psychological reactions like increased heart rate and shallow breathing.
And that's if it's directed to them. That would naturally cause that.
That's right. No. But then there's been a second study done by Bergen that basically says that that's not the case. The findings on emotional numbness were based on a study that examined television violence, not swearing on TV.
Okay.
So what this has said that for kids, watching TV violence has a worse effect on them than hearing profanity.
Yeah, that sounds true.
Mm. And then when you think about it, it's all about the context in which it's used.
Exactly.
Clean words can have a bad effect if they're used in the wrong way.
In an angry way.
That's right, abusive, that sort
unkind
of thing.
Unkind way.
Yeah, and they're saying that kids hearing these swear words, not in an abusive way, but just in a sort of generic way, kind of prepares them for it and gives them that little bit of expectation of what's to come and helps them deal with those situations.
Giving them resilience.
Yeah, which is good to know because, again, when one slips out every now and it's not going to do them damage.
It will happen.
That's okay, so what they found is the profanity is worse. Foul language does cause increase in heart rate and shallow breathing, but they've also found that solving difficult maths problems, texting and computer games gives the same response to hearing swearing.
Wow.
I know.
Who thought sending emojis was so stressful?
Yes, but not necessarily negative.
Okay,
for your kids. Which is funny because every time I try and solve a maths problem, my swearing is multiplied, and sometimes by long division.
Yeah.
That was the Banksy and Pinky podcast. Check them out at cfm.com.au.
Or don't.
No pressure.